good shepherd that'll help us and that we can walk with day by day, especially in this dark world that we're walking in. We need a light. He is the light. Amen. All right, take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 with me. We're going to continue this morning.
I do realize that it's the week of Thanksgiving, and probably should preach a message on Thanksgiving, but I'm going to preach what I believe the Lord wants me to preach. We'll continue on spiritual warfare this morning. Very timely that God has us preaching on these thoughts this week, and during this time that we live in today. Brother Nicky's batteries are dead. Would you grab something for him real quick? I'll try to stay here for just a second. But Ephesians chapter 6
and verse number 10, and we're going to look at a few verses here, but we're definitely living in some times that I know I've not seen, but preachers have been preaching and warning about the times in which we live in for a long time. I listen to Brother Lester Roloff. He preaches. We listen to him about every week. I know Brother Bowen likes listening to him, and he gets real convicting sometimes listening to him. But some of the things that we see happening, he warned about way back when he preached on those things. And I heard him preaching just this morning, and he mentioned that he was 55 years old when he was preaching that particular message. And he was warning of the things that were to come. He warned about the television and warned about being programmed and all those things way back when he was preaching. And we're seeing all those things come to pass that those guys preached and warned about. And if you listen to some of their messages, you would think that they were living today. I mean, you would think that they were right here with it. And so that they warned them. The Bible is a book that's relevant for every day. It's relevant then, it's still relevant today. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. And if you found your place, if you would say amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. I'm going to read down through here all the way through the armor of God. And we're not going to get into each one of these yet. We're getting there, talking about spiritual warfare. But I just want to read it for our text this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We talked about it in Sunday school. Man, I enjoyed the fellowship in Sunday school. Enjoyed that lesson this morning with all of y'all and all the feedback. But we talked about how in the times that we live, in the days that we live, it's time to get strong. It's time to stand up. It's time to wake up. And Christians all over, the Bible told us to do this and we must do it. Verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand. There's that word stand again, against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Brother Heitz, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the message? Yes, Father. Yes, Lord, help us, Father. Lord, we pray today that Amen. We find here listed the armor of God. And this is something that I believe as a child, most kids that grew up in church studied this. And I know that our kids in Children's Church have went over this a few different times with illustrations and different visual things they were able to see about the armor of God. And it's something that is not just a child's story. The armor of God is not a children's story. It's for everybody, and it's something that's very important. And so as we begin the next few weeks to look at the need to put on the armor of God, we identified the enemy. We looked at the fact that Satan was the enemy. And for several weeks we looked at his plan, and that plan has not changed. We're not going over all that again for sake of time, but you can go back and maybe listen to some of them if you missed it. But Satan's plan has not changed all the way from the very beginning. And we see that. We see what he's been trying to do. And I want to look at a few more verses this morning as we go through the message. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. And normally we don't turn to a whole lot of verses in the Sunday morning service. I try to leave you in one spot or maybe two, but we're going to look at a few this morning. And as we wrap up looking at this enemy, we've looked at his subtlety and all of his planning and his success and all the things that he's allowed and caused man to do. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse number 8, familiar passage about the devil. The Bible said here, be sober, be serious minded is what this is talking about. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. His plan has not changed since the very beginning. And as we face things in this life and in the times that we live in, you better believe that the devil's behind most, if not everything, that's going on. I mean, his plan from the beginning has been to try to dethrone the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to sit on that throne. And so his plan to attack mankind and to get him to think the things that he thought from the very beginning, he has been very wise in trying to do that, and he's been very successful. Look at me in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. He has been very successful at those things. Now, back in the Garden of Eden, we found that he went after Eve and Adam there, and he went after all the pleasures of the eyes, and he went after the pride of man. And we see that here in this verse here, but the enemy has been doing the same thing. First John chapter 2, and look at verse number 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. All right, the Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. And man, we can say amen right there to have our sins forgiven. Man, I'm thankful for that. I am not going to die in my sins. I'm going to die in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for me on the cross of Calvary. I do not have to die in my sins. Verse number 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. Again, from the beginning, the devil's plan has not changed. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Again, we're talking about, he's writing because your sins have been forgiven. He's writing to children of God here, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. He says it again. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. We see it again, overcoming the wicked one. We're talking about the spiritual warfare and the battle that we have going on. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to overcome the wicked one. He doesn't want the devil to get an advantage of you. And all the warnings we see in the Bible, and all the things telling us to stand and to be strong, is to help us overcome the wicked one. And that's what he's getting at. Look at verse number 15. Now remember, in context, of this verse we're about to read. This verse is preached a whole lot, and this verse is mentioned a whole lot in preaching. But understand, he's talking about overcoming the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Who is the little g god of this world? Satan. Satan is the little g god of this world. And so he tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm telling you today that Satan has been successful in getting most Christians to fall in love with the world. They're in love with the world. They're in love with all the things the world has to offer. And the three things mentioned in verse number 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are the three things that he got Eve with. The same exact recipe, the same exact strategy is what he got Eve with. And now we're being told here in 1 John chapter 2 that he's still using those same three things. When the church gets out of here and we're raptured out, guess what the devil's still going to be doing? He's still going to be attacking with the three same things. So how do you know that? Because it's here in 1 John chapter 2. He's still going to be attacking with the same exact things. Look at verse number 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. We're in the last time. You know that, right? I believe it. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. If you were to go over to Israel today, Brother Bowen will tell you this, and you go to the site that the Catholic Church says is where Jesus Christ died, where the Catholic Church says, not where the Bible says, but the Catholic Church says. If you go to that place, there's people walking around that's dressed like Jesus. Was there not? I got pictures of them. I got pictures of people. And they say, the missionary says, that people come all the time to that place and they're dressed just like you would think Jesus would be dressed, or whatever the Catholic Church pictures him as being. And they show up and they claim that they're Jesus. I mean, the guy was just sitting there and nobody was paying him any attention. If Jesus Christ himself was there, nobody would probably be paying him any attention either. I don't know. But the Bible here said there's many antichrists. There's many that say that they're Christ. You look back through history, and just about in every decade, there's been somebody that says that they're Christ. But one day there will be an Antichrist. And he'll come. And we talked about this morning how maybe one day we might not ever have another presidential election. This might be the last one. Why? Because the UN's probably going to declare a president and he'll be over everything. And you know what? As you see that happening, you're seeing some of this stuff unfold. And we're starting to see this stuff play out. And there will be an Antichrist. There'll be somebody that'll show up that's going to convince the nations. He's going to convince people that he is the Christ. And as we're warned in the Scripture, we ought to take heed. We ought to stand and stay strong. And we ought to be in our Bible more than we've ever been in our life right now. I mean, in the Bible every day. We're warned of the things that were to befall us. We're warned about the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and of the pride of life. And those are the things that the devil started with, and those are the things that he still works on us today. Now, I want to say this as we begin to work in the next few weeks over to the armor of God. We looked at the enemy, we looked at Satan, and we looked at how deceiving he is and how subtle he is. But I want to say this morning, you should never try to confront Satan. Now, I realize what I'm preaching on this morning is getting off into some different ground. Amen? And I don't think anybody in here would ever try to do that. But I'm going to warn you from the Scripture this morning, you should never try to confront Satan. We're going to be talking about the body, the armor of God, and why you should put it on. That way you can withstand. The Bible tells us, and we're going to look in detail as we go through here, but you should never, ever try to confront Satan. Now, he's going to come against you, and you're going to have to withstand. But the only way you're going to do it is with the armor of God. And I understand that. We're going to get there, but I want to preach this morning about the enemy, about this thing with the enemy and how to deal with him right now, before we get into the armor of God, all right? So look with me in Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19. I'm getting to the armor of God. I will. Well, we will get that. You say, you keep saying that. I know we will. I'm trying to lay some groundwork. Because if you don't understand the seriousness of it, you don't understand why you ought to put it on every day, then you won't do it. I mean, you won't do it. If I was to get up and we were just to teach a Sunday school lesson in a junior church on the armor of God and go through all the pieces, you say, Brother Andrew, that sounds good and that looks neat. Hey, it sounds like a novel idea. But if you don't understand the severity of putting it on every day, you won't do it. You won't get up every day and put it on like the Bible tells us to do. Brother Alan Jones, when he preaches on this subject, said you put it on every morning and you take it off at night. And somebody said, well, take off the armor of God. He's like, well, you don't sleep in your boots, do you? You don't sleep fully clothed in your suit and your boots and all that stuff. He said, no, you take them off and you put your sleeping clothes on and go to bed. He's like, the reason why the Bible says tell you to put on the armor of God and put it on every day is because you got to get up and put it on. Amen. He said, then you take it off and go to bed. But most Christians don't ever put it on. They're walking around spiritually naked. And a lot of people are walking around physically naked too. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 11. You know what? I enjoy the winter time because people put clothes on. But with that being said, now you got these young ladies and I don't even know where I'm getting off on this. They wear these big old bulky sweaters and they still got their yoga pants on. I don't get it. Amen. There was a lady yesterday. Miss Sarah kept getting on to me, and she's grabbing her face. I mean, I said, does anybody love that woman? Amen. It was like 50 pounds of lard in a 10-pound sack. It was rough. But people dress like that and go out in public. It's quiet in here. Sad times. And they'll wear a Jesus Loves Me shirt and do it at the same time. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11. I'm trying to tell you this morning, we should never try to confront Satan. Never try to confront Satan. And you know what? He doesn't like anything that I'm preaching right now. We talked about this morning how the government and their people, the media and all that, these big tech companies, they hear everything you say because of that cell phone. They can be riding in the car with you and they hear the whole conversation. They know everything that's going on if they want to. But you know what? The devil hears your conversations too. Yeah. Amen. He knows those things. And the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. I got a verse in that here in a little bit. He knows what's going on. He's behind all that. Acts chapter number 19, look at verse number 11. Now this story here is a very serious story, but at the same time, it's one of those stories that I've always found real interesting. And almost comical, even though it's not a funny thing. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11. The Bible said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. Now, verse number 13 said, than certain of the vagabond Jews. Let me say this before I go on. This is where all those faith healers get. If you just send us some money, we're going to sneeze on an apron or we're going to sneeze on a napkin and we're going to send it to you. And then once you get that thing, you'll get healed. Now, you say, why? Well, they got that from right here. But the Bible said that the Jews required a sign. And Paul was dealing with Jews right here. All right? And so God gave him those, Paul was an apostle that God gave the ability to do miracles to so that the Jews could see it because they required a sign. All right? And so that's why that took place there. And that's where all those faith healers get that. And I'll sell this for $100 when we get done if anybody wants it. All right? And so that's exactly what took place here. Now watch this. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, in verse number 13, and exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. We're talking about spiritual warfare, dealing with the devil, dealing with Satan. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. Now, these men, they were exorcists, and they believed that they could go up to somebody that had an evil spirit that was of the wicked one, and they could just go up and just claim the name of Jesus, and they would be healed. They watched Paul, who preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what Paul was preaching. And he watched Paul as Paul was able to cast out things and as he was able to do these miracles. And they show up and they wanted to perform this exercise of casting out devils. And look at how the devils responded in verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" I mean, can you picture this? These men show up and they're trying to be ultra spiritual and they're wanting to confront the devils. They're wanting to confront an evil spirit. And so they come up and they say, "Get out in Jesus' name." And the demons look at them and go, "Who's this guy? We know Jesus. We know Him well." I mean, He came down there and took the keys of death and hell from our boss. We know who He is. And we know who Paul is. Because he's a part of that group that's turning the world upside down for Christ. But who are you? And the very next verse said that these demons jumped on them. What does it say? Are you there? What verse was I in? 16, verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and saith, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, and so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Here is an illustration in the Bible where somebody thought that they could confront devils. Where they thought that they could confront Satan. And it's comical on the fact that they said, "We don't even know who you are. Now we're going to possess you." And that thing jumped out on them and they ran out of that house naked and afraid. Scared to death. Amen? Because that thing jumped on him. It went out of the man. I guess they got the job done. I guess they got the job done. You say, "What are you trying to tell me this morning, Brother Andrew?" I'm trying to tell you this morning, don't mess with them. I'm trying to tell you this morning, don't get involved with that music. I'm talking about confronting Satan. I know of preachers today that decided to study music. They tried to study pornography. And they did it out of saying they want to help youth. Or they want to help other people. And they would study it. And everyone that I personally know of ended up getting possessed with that thing. And it destroyed their ministry. Now, some of you might know some preachers that overcame something like that. I don't know of any. You know what I'm trying to tell you as a pastor? Stay away from it. You don't have to look into it.
it's bad. You don't have to understand it. It's bad. And I'm telling you, there's those today, and you say, I would never confront Satan, but you allow him in your home when you allow the music and you allow the shows and you allow the movies and you allow the conversations to go in your home. You're confronting him. You're allowing him in. And there, whenever this happened, they were possessed by this thing and they came in. We should never get sidetracked, never get distracted in trying to get involved with any kind of ministry of casting out devils. Amen? We shouldn't do that. It's a very questionable practice. I've heard of people that get involved with it. It's a very questionable practice. It's questionable doctrinally. It's questionable spiritually. But I tell you what, the people that get real involved with that, it distracts them from the real purpose. And you know what that is? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's seeing people get born again and seeing people get saved. I've had people call me before the last church I pastored. I had a woman call me and I answered the phone and she was screaming and said, I need help right now. She said, I need help right this very minute. I've got a daughter who is possessed and I need you to come down here and do something. And in the background, I heard a grown man growling and she said, that's my daughter. That's my little girl. This stuff is real. You say, what'd you do? I tried to ask where she lived and she hung up and I never heard from him again. I said, what did I do? I fell to my knees and started crying and praying. This stuff is real. And you know, just about every time we hear of somebody that goes into a school and starts shooting children or goes and shoots their parents, there's music involved every time. There's video games involved. There's things they're watching. There's people they're hanging out with. And you can't handle it. We can't handle it. All this stuff I'm preaching, there's a reason behind it. We can't handle it. And I don't care how long you've been preaching, you can't handle it. I've seen some great men fall. There's many movies and shows today, and they've always been around. From when I was younger, I used to hear about them. We weren't allowed to watch them, thank the Lord. But I would hear about them. There's always been movies and shows that promoted some kind of satanic possession. I mean, they promote these things. These horror films. People love to go watch horror films. That is some of the biggest industry in the world. Halloween is probably, there's probably more money spent on Halloween than any other kind of holiday. It's a billions of billions of dollars on horror and scaring. It's of the devil. And there's people that go and they watch all these movies because they want this excitement. They want this thing. I'm telling you, you don't need to be anywhere around it. Don't let your children around it. We're not supposed to give them the fear. Amen. We're not supposed to instill in them fear and scary parts in a movie. I mean, why in the world would you want to, why would you want to introduce them to that? And then they go to bed scared to death of the boogie monsters under their bed. And the devil begins to play on their mind and he begins to prey on them as a young child. And that's exactly what he wants. And foolish parents all over introduce it to their children and they think it's funny. I've never seen anyone that got involved in trying to cast out devils or getting involved with this music and all these things. I've never seen them make it through it, personally. Now, maybe you have. I don't know. But even the ones that got out of it and God helped them, they're not right. Something changed. I'm trying to warn you about the enemy. The devil is... He's after our children. He's after our marriages. We've already been preaching all that. I'm not going to do it again. And we don't need to be foolish to think that if you're not living right and you're not doing right, that the devil's still not going to mess with you because he wants to keep you backslid. He wants to keep you away from God. He wants to keep you from getting right. He wants to keep you right where you are if you're backslidden. If you're not doing what you ought to do, He wants to keep you right there. There's some people that say that they can confront the devil just by quoting Scripture. You ought to never go looking for him. Don't ever go looking for him to confront him. Amen. I'm just trying to warn you this morning. Do not confront him. Two ways to avoid the devil. Let me give you this morning. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. You keep saying foolish and ignorant parents. I was reading yesterday, I believe in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, if there be any ignorant man, let him be ignorant. I mean, that's what Paul said. Amen. You know, you think of ignorance being unlearned and all those things, and I understand that that is what that means, but there's some people that choose to be that way. They allow their children to do things, and they know that they're not right, but they don't want to look into it. They don't want to understand that it's not right. They're just okay with it. You know how many parents today allow their children to do stuff because they missed out when they were younger? Oh, I just don't want my kids to miss out. Or maybe because the way they were disciplined might not have been right, they just don't discipline their kids at all. The Bible's still right, even if it was not done right to you. Amen. It's still, hey, I tell you what, we talk about missing out. I was riding a few years ago with a guy from work, and he kept mentioning different movies. Have you seen this movie? No, I've never seen that movie. Oh, have you seen this movie? No, I've never seen that movie. Have you heard this song? No, I've never heard that song. Man, you're missing out. I said, you know what? I have missed out. You know what I've missed out on? I've missed out on a life of heartache. I've missed out on a life of waking up every day and I know where I'm at. I missed out on not knowing where I'm at. And I've missed out on not knowing those things. Yeah, I've missed out, but I thank God I've missed out on some things. Amen. Your children ought to grow up and people are going to say to them, well, Marissa, you just missed out. And I pray she's so in love with Jesus, she does. Yep, I did. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Yeah, I've missed out, but I haven't been married 3 times. Amen. I know there's some that go through some of those things. And amen. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of marriages the devil attacks. There's a lot of children the marriages attack. There's things that people go through, and there's things the devil is allowed to get in their home. And I know it takes two people to be right with God. I understand that. But the devil wants to mess up your marriage. He wants to mess up your home. He wants to take your children. He'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes. We just have to understand that He's doing that. Two ways to deal with the devil. First one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26. The Bible said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." The first thing I'd like to say is way to deal with the devil, avoid him. Completely, 100% avoid him. You should never try to give him an open invitation in your life. Do you believe that the Spirit of God can come be in your home if you have the right kind of music in your home? I do. Do you believe that the Spirit and the filling of God can be in your home if you've got the right books? Hey, there's even some movies that they've come out with, and some of these Christian organizations that have good convicting messages to them, and sometimes people can feel the Spirit and all these things. Hey, but if that can be done through Jesus, the devil can do the same thing through books and music and movies. He can do the same exact thing. So what are you trying to say, Brother Andrew? I'm trying to say avoid him. And that means what you allow in your home and the things you allow in your marriage, the things that you allow to come before your eyes or into your ears or into your mouth, those things you ought to avoid him at all cost. The devil, even more so, is trying to get in our homes, and he's going to use every tool he has to do it. And we must avoid him. Question this morning is, do we avoid him at all costs, or do we invite him in? And we should not confront him. Not only that, but number two, not only should we avoid him, but we need to abandon ourselves to God. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, you abandon yourselves to God. You say, what does that mean? That means get rid of everything that is unholy, that God's not pleased with, and give yourself wholly to God, to the things of God. James chapter 4, and look at verse number 7. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's back to avoiding him. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If you want to deal with Satan, you avoid him at all costs, and you abandon yourself to God. You give yourself wholly unto God and submit yourself to him. The Bible said that he's already defeated Satan. And that's a part of the message later on as well. But I'm telling you that he has defeated him. And Jesus Christ, he needs the preeminence in our life. He cannot have more of you than what you allow him to have. You have as much of Jesus as you want today. But you can have as much of the devil as you want to. I heard Brother Lester Roloff preaching about memorizing verses, memorizing Scripture. And what did he say? Memorize a chapter a month or something like that? He's encouraged people to memorize a chapter a month. He said the other day, when he signed somebody's Bible, somebody came and said, would you sign my Bible? He said, I'll sign it if you promise to memorize a chapter. Whoa, I don't know if I want you signing my Bible. Amen. But hey, he tried to encourage people to memorize Scripture. And he said whenever Satan comes his way and he wanted to get in his heart and he wanted to mess with him, he said he would always get there and say, hey, are you sure you want to mess with me? And Satan said, yeah, I want to mess with you. And he said Satan would get to looking around and say, whoa, you got way too much of that Word of God in there. If I got in there, I'd be cut all up by that sword that's in you. And he said Satan would flee. And he said, I didn't try to confront him. I just put so much Word of God in me that two-edged sword would cut him up every time he got close. Amen? He's talking about submitting ourselves to God and drawing nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to us. Being abandoned to God. That's how we confront him. We don't confront him head on. We try to avoid him, and we get as close as we can to God. We've got our children, and whenever they're running around and they're playing, you can protect them when they're right there by you. Amen. We go walking through the woods, and I found out that we got timber rattlesnakes in our woods. I didn't realize we had them things there, but we do. Amen. Killed one at the top of our driveway a few weeks ago. We got timber rattlesnakes. And when they're down there and they're in a pile of leaves, you'll never know they're there unless you know exactly what you're looking for. Unless you're taking heed, unless you're awake and paying attention, and you can spot one. And so when you're out there with your children, you keep them close by and you say, watch out for that. Watch out for that. But if they're allowed to have free reign and do whatever they want, they're so young and innocent, they don't know what to look for. They don't know which way to go. But whenever they can draw nigh to Dad, and they can get close to Dad, and Dad can kind of direct them. And I'm trying to tell you, we have a Heavenly Father that He knows what to look out for. And He knows the danger. And He knows what's ahead. So if we can just draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to us. And He can take care of that old slithery snake. That old legless worm. He can take care of him. Draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. Not only that, but there in verse number 8, There in verse number 8, James chapter 4 and verse number 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. But it doesn't just end there. That verse goes on to say, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, if we're gonna deal with the devil, we gotta avoid him. We gotta abandon ourselves to God, and we do that by drawing nigh to Him and keeping our heart right with Him. We've gotta keep our heart right with Him. We gotta keep our hands clean and our hearts pure and keep our minds clean. Why? The devil just needs a little bitty room to get in. And if we allow our hands to be involved in sin, we allow our minds to be involved in sin, and our hearts to be involved in sin, He will wreak havoc in our lives. We got to draw nigh to God, and we got to stay right with Him. You realize the devil, he only needs one opportunity for you not to be drawn up next to God. Whenever a pedophile wants to steal a child, he's going to look for that parent that's not watching their children. He's going to look for that one where that child is not right up against mom and dad. He's going to look for the one that's wandering around by himself. When you get away from God and you start getting into things you ought not to, that's when the devil's going to make his move. We got to draw nigh to God, keep our hearts and our hands and our minds pure. If he can get us to sin and we're not resisting the devil, then we're not going to be able to submit to God and draw nigh to Him. Bible tells us back over there in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have to go back there with me. Let's finish there. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice here, it does not tell you to go confront the devil. It doesn't tell you to go looking for the devil. The devil's going to find you if you're trying to do right. He's going to find you even if you're not trying to do right. He wants to keep you wrong. If he can keep you backslidden, then he can get to the souls of your children. He can get to the souls of your grandchildren. And so he's going to come looking for you. You don't have to look for him. You're to stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're fighting against this morning, church. We have a great enemy that's fighting against us. And I want to leave you with this morning. Satan is the god of this world. And he wants to usurp authority over God's authority in everything. He wants to usurp authority over God's authority in religion, in politics, in education, in science, in art, in music, in your home, in your marriage. He wants to usurp authority over everything. He's the prince of the power of the air, as we read right there. In Ephesians chapter 2, it calls him the prince of the power of the air that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to disobey. He wants you to get away from God. He wants to get in your home. We have a great enemy. But I'm encouraging you this morning, we need to draw nigh to God. And we're going to look at the armor of God, like I said, here in just another week or so, and look at each part of it that we have to put on every day so that we can stand. But in the meanwhile, you need to get familiar with your Bible. You need to know it every day. You need to read your Bible every day and draw nigh to God. Let's all stand. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for being a great God and a great Savior. Father, I thank You for each and every person that's here this morning. Lord, what an encouragement they are to me, Father. Be able to come, Lord, and they sit through this, Lord, as I try to fumble my way through here, Lord, trying to please You. And God, I love the families of this church. I love the children. Lord, every couple. And Father, I don't want to see the devil get a stronghold in anybody's life. And Lord, as we recognize who the enemy is this morning, I pray, God, you'd help us to draw nigh to you. And Father, there's many in here this morning that probably could give testimony of times in their life that the devil's tried to ruin something. But God, the fact that they're here today, Lord, is a picture of your grace and mercy. And Father, we're thankful for that. And Lord, we're thankful for your grace and mercy and long-suffering. And God, I pray you'd help us to stand strong as a church. God, we'd stand strong and we'd stand boldly and stay awake. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, God, as we're going into this week of Thanksgiving. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to be constantly reminded of all that you've done for us. Keep us safe, Lord, as we travel and go to family and everything that goes on. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.